The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
President Donald Trump has signed executive actions to double down on fossil fuels and reverse America's progress on climate change and clean energy. One of the orders he signed is to pull the United States out of the climate agreement set in Paris. Saeve O'Neill is climate policy researcher and a candidate for the Shannon elections. Saeve, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, bad news on the face of it, but you say that bad news, in terms of its effect, comes dripping slow.
Yeah, well, it's useful to look back at the impact of the Trump administration during 2017, his first period in office, 2017 to 21. So what researchers have found is that he dismantled major climate policies at the time and rolled back rules governing clean air, water, wildlife and toxic chemicals, a range of things. And they counted over 100 environmental regulations. Now, the interesting thing is that the effect of that, even if they were reversed again by Biden, was really very significant. The Lancet Commission found that 22,000 additional deaths were caused by his rolling back of environmental policies in 1 year alone, and that was before COVID. And in addition, it led to what will be likely about 1.8 gigatons of extra emissions. So all these rule changes do have an impact. So it's not just bluster. So now Trump 2.0, what are we looking at? He has declared a national energy emergency, which is legally a bit of nonsense, but it's just an excuse to boost oil and gas production. Now, the point of this, it's very curious because the effect of it will be to depress energy prices. Now, that means the energy markets will be flooded with cheaper oil and gas. It will make it much more costly for investors who are trying to get into decarbonisation and energy efficiency. So it's the way it will mess up the market signal that I think is most damaging.
Will OPEC countries take this lying down? Because obviously OPEC countries producing oil and gas, and of course there's Russia as well, who's a pariah at the moment, but producing oil and gas at a price which is, if you like, the world price. The Americans start overproducing, and they're already producing more than the OPEC countries anyway, but they overproduce, they depress the world price of oil and gas, and other parties will not be happy with that, even though for consumers here in Ireland, we might be delighted.
Well, you see, that's just it. We're going to get mixed signals. On the one hand, as energy importers, we want lower prices, but ultimately we want to get ourselves off our dependence on fossil fuels. So if you have low energy prices, that's going to interfere with that market signal that's very important in kind of pushing and nudging investors and policymakers towards clean and green energy. If you take, for example, his proposals around the EV mandate, it's another example of where he's really interfering, if you like, with an inevitable technological transition. He's claiming he's going to get rid of what he calls an EV mandate. But what Biden had actually introduced was something similar to the EU vehicle emission standards that car manufacturers have to meet across their fleet as a whole. And they can do that with battery technologies or hybrid or very efficient engines. But he is planning to get rid of that. And that is really going to make it more damaging for American manufacturers because they're not going to be able to export their vehicles into markets that have higher environmental standards. So what we're looking at is a kind of race to the bottom here. And he thinks he can make the US benefit from race to the bottom policies. Obviously, the environment pays, people pay in terms of their health, and all the climate extremes that we've seen in recent years have affected the United States and its property and insurance market significantly. So his economics is nonsense. It's like really dangerous. But at the same time, he thinks there's a short term gain for the US in this.
Yeah, it's extraordinary that even as the wildfires are still burning, slowing down happily in Los Angeles, that this man cannot see that climate change is real.
Yes, I was thrilled that you actually introduced the segment as an example of his climate denial, because that's exactly what it is. He is deliberately sticking his fingers up at decades of international cooperation leading to the Paris Agreement. And of course, the US is the second largest producer of greenhouse gases behind China in the world. It has extremely high levels of per capita emissions and is the single greatest contributor to historical emissions. So it has a huge historical responsibility. And yet now his withdrawal from the Paris Agreement creates a vacuum that is going to be filled by petrostates, essentially, who are using the process and have been over the past few years to stall progress on reducing emissions. And they've been, you know, interfering with the process diplomatically to make the whole process slow down.
Now, he's doing something else as well, which is withdrawing leases for lands that would be used for alternative energies, whether it's solar energy or wind energy. I mean, he actually believes that wind farms themselves are malign.
Yes, it's really alarming. And he has paused new offshore leases. It's hard to explain this. It makes no sense. And again, where are the experts around him guiding him in terms of sensible environmental and energy policies? It seems that even on the energy and environment side, people are just kowtowing to his nonsense. And as a result, industries that are actually directly benefiting Republican states, because the renewable energy has benefited Republican states even more than Democratic states, because they're largely in areas that are less densely populated in the Midwest and so on, where there's huge tracts of land being, you know, used for benign renewable energy projects like wind and solar. They're very popular. They've lowered energy prices. And yet he is trying to curtail this technology, which is completely inevitable, by the way. He will slow it down, but he will not stop it.
Now, one of the dilemmas, one of the, I suppose, the conundrums is, how does Elon Musk fit into all of this? Because he makes electric cars. His primary business before SpaceX, which, by the way, must be a massive polluter every time they launch a rocket, but that's by the way. The EV business, you'd think that by going for petrol, he's punishing Elon Musk. But it seems that the withdrawal of subsidies from EVs, which would include Musk's, also withdraws the subsidies from Elon Musk's traditional competitors, the Fords and the Chevys of the world, who are trying to make EVs, and their subsidies go down. And Musk feels that he can win. He can make cheaper cars, cheaper electric cars, without subsidies than his competitors can.
Yes, I can't explain it. I mean, it just makes no sense. I think he doesn't understand international trade. He doesn't understand manufacturing and the nature of the car industry, which is going through a decade-long transition towards different types of vehicles and engines and so on. And these investments are made over long periods of time. So kind of short, sharp shock type policy changes are not good for the industry. They like long lead-in periods. Even in Europe, the vehicle emission standards and the effective ban on internal combustion engine won't kick in until 2035. That's to give the manufacturers plenty of time to phase out the old technology and bring in the new. You could argue that that's not happening fast enough. But what Trump is doing, he's interfering with manufacturing processes that he doesn't effectively understand. The supply chains for car industry are run to the thousands of different components. They come from all over the world. The idea that car manufacturing in the United States can be, you know, protected in some way from these market forces is incredibly naive.
There's a huge cross-border trade between Mexico and the United States in terms of components, and they go both directions. And yes, the impact of tariffs, which are bound to come, it would appear, will be to increase the price of the American car. And I don't think he gets that.
Yes, I think he really doesn't understand trade. And, you know, so a lot of these announcements could be viewed as entirely sort of performative, theatrical. Yeah. They're playing to his audience, his voters, that, you know, would like to see the world in simple terms. But the 21st century is not simple. And, you know, I think that we are only we're only seeing a kind of a period of confusion as much as anything else that is going to be playing out before us over the next few years.
Now, one of the things about, you know, the question is, why should Mrs. Murphy halfway up a mountain stop burning turf when Americans are drill, baby, drill? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can apply that in many countries where people are being asked to make sacrifices in to help the climate. And then the Americans don't give a damn and they just burn, baby, burn, drill, baby, drill. So
yes,
it's harder for smaller communities, smaller countries to say, we've got to knuckle down. We've got to pay our dues in terms of climate behavior. And the Americans don't give a toss.
Yeah, exactly. It's quite depressing. I mean, the single most common question that is asked of people like me, and you've asked it yourself over the years, which is like, why should we do anything if China is building so many coal-fired power plants every year? And the reality is that question is going to shift now to the United States. So by withdrawing the US from the Paris Agreement, by stepping up its oil and gas production, by increasing the amount of fracking it's doing to export LNG, this is weakening international cooperation. And international cooperation requires leadership. The Paris Agreement makes it clear that the biggest emitters, the wealthiest countries, need to take the lead in climate action.
No.
And the expectation is a legal one, not just a moral one. But the United States is obviously, you know, being completely unwilling now at this point to do that.
Now, I'll read you some of the comments which are pro-Trump. We need a Trump in Ireland. Why are we signing up for major climate target penalties if the major economies of the world have not? It's economic suicide and more of the blind following the woke agenda. Another one. Ireland has the most expensive energy prices in the EU due to so-called green policies. Let's give Trump's ideas a go. Another one. While I'm no fan of Donald Trump, isn't it great to see a world leader recognise the fraud that the carbon con is? That's from Eamon in Kilkenny. It was the likes of these environmentalists who stopped the forests being cleaned and adding of the firebreaks because of the grasshoppers. The consequences of these inactions were the grasshoppers were burned in the fire and also serious carbon emissions. That's from William. Trump does believe in climate change. He just doesn't care. He makes more money and is more popular by using phrases like drill, baby, drill. He'll be gone in 4 years and will retire very wealthy. Another one. The next 4 years will involve a lot of arguing with stupid, and you can't argue with stupid. I feel bad for experts like your speaker having to deal with this stupid. So just one solitary comment there in support of what you're talking about, Sive, and a lot of people, probably more out of ignorance than anything else, going along with Donald Trump.
I think that, you know, people don't understand, and I understand why as well, but people don't understand that when it comes to energy markets and energy policies, that you need a mixture of pricing and also regulation. So people misunderstand things. Like, for example, Ireland's high energy prices, they are exceptionally high, I think the second highest in Europe. And this is a major problem. But it's not because of renewable energy. In fact, they'd be lower if we had more renewable energy. They're higher because of the structure of our energy market, because we haven't had a north-south interconnector, and because we have limited interconnectors with the UK and continental Europe. They're also high because we're really reliant on fossil fuels for our energy. We're importing so much of it. So, people jump to the wrong conclusions around these things. It is understandable that people are aggrieved by high energy prices, but I think we need to take the time to understand why. And it's really important that the Oireachtas scrutinises both the Commission for Energy Regulation and all the other agencies involved so that we do lower these prices. And I think when people are seeing energy prices as part of a cost of living crisis, it's hard for them to be sympathetic to the environmental arguments. But the reality is that we're all going to pay the cost in terms of environmental destruction and to human health and these climate disasters that are wreaking havoc around the world is only going to increase. So for our own self-preservation, for our own selfish interests, we need to take action on reducing our emissions and accelerating the energy transition to renewables and energy efficiency. And anything else, Trump's policies make no sense. They make no sense in a world that's going to be heating up And we're already blowing past the 1.5 degrees.
Saeb, thank you very much for joining us. That's Saeb O'Neill, climate policy researcher and, as it happens, a candidate for the Shannon elections. Now this.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.